Hello, and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanek, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, cleaning up problem Columbus hotel and motel sites. Councilmember Zach Klein is turning up the heat on hotels and motels that are a drain on city and police resources. The Safety Committee Chair is proposing legislation to create a system of permitting which will require owners to operate within the criminal nuisance code or risk the revocation or suspension of their license. Here's Councilmember Klein from last week's public hearing.
I'm Zach Klein. I am the chair of the Public Safety Committee for the Columbus City Council. I certainly appreciate the well-attended committee we have tonight, committee hearing, regarding the proposed legislation on hotel-motel licensing within the City of Columbus. We would not be here without you and without the voices of the citizens of the City of Columbus, in particular the Northland area, which I know many of you hail from, a beautiful and wonderful part of town. That the licensing scheme that we're here to talk about tonight is born out of the conversations that we've had at community meetings, that you've had at your Northland Community Council, that Mr. Klinger and Mr. Geis and Mr. Spirlaza have had with you, and the ongoing efforts that the City of Columbus has done to shut down plagued properties, criminal havens that exist in your neighborhoods, and thinking of a way that we could more expeditiously, yet fairly, very important to be fair as well, shut down these properties to make your community and other neighborhoods across the City of Columbus better. So we have you in mind as we've drafted this legislation. I think we're headed in the right direction, and my goal tonight is to have this hearing, to hear from the Department of Public Safety. We'll hear from the City Attorney's Office, we'll hear from the Department of Public Health, and then we'll hear from some folks from the Northland area, some business owners, as well as folks from the hotel industry. And it was important for me to bring in the hotel industry because they're good partners, and we need to draft legislation that really goes after the worst of the worst and rewards the good guys. So that's kind of my frame of mind as we get started. And I'd like to thank Director George Speaks, our Director of Public Safety, to kick us off. And before you do that, there are some people that have signed up for speaker slips. You can do that over here. I'll take them throughout the course of the meeting. If you want to fill one out, if something pops into your mind, I'll do that. And I want to give everyone who's here the opportunity to speak if you wish to do so. And we'll take speakers at the end of the presentations. Director Speaks.
Chairman Klein, City Attorney Pfeiffer, thank you. Throughout the mid-1990s, the city of Chula Vista, California, was experiencing an unusually large number of calls for service arrest at local motels. After surrounding businesses and community organizations pleaded with the city for help in cleaning these hotel and motels up, the city responded by creating an innovative, policy-based solution. Chairman Klein, we are here tonight to support and applaud your efforts to adopt a similar policy here in our City of Columbus. Please allow me to place this criminal problem in context. The vast, vast number of hotels and motels in our city do not experience a pattern of crime. However, in recent years, we have experienced increases in crime at some of our hotels and motels in certain areas of the city. What is most alarming is the great frequency and the serious nature of these calls for service at these troubled hotels and motels. As you will see from the photographic evidence that we brought today, these crimes range from serious building and safety code violations to drugs and prostitution and even homicide. Columbus residents, our businesses, our tourists, and unsuspecting out-of-town travelers deserve better. As one unsuspecting traveler wrote on the TripAdvisor website, and I quote you, "I got to the hotel just in time for the police to swoop in with several cars to arrest someone. This did not seem to disturb the prostitutes one bit. Ever present were pimps who I believe are flying the colors of the Crips. This is the first hotel I've ever stayed at that has security bars on the snack machine." Chairman Klein, Public Safety and Mr. Pfeiffer's office have worked diligently through the judicial process to close a number of these bad actors in the North End, specifically the Knights Inn, the Red Carpet Inn, Super 8, the Columbus Inn and Suites were all boarded up pursuant to judicial court orders. The Best Western avoided a similar fate by entering into a court order requiring them to implement a number of security measures. And Motel 1, located on the east side, East Main Street, was so bad that the court ordered the hotel to be demolished at the owner's expense. The judicial process of bringing a nuisance action is effective, as shown by the closing of these hotels. However, the judicial process may take several years to adjudicate a nuisance lawsuit. We believe that additional tools are needed to allow public safety and Mr. Pfeiffer's office to be more effective in stopping the trend of crime facilitated at these hotels and motels, to force owners to operate legitimate businesses, and to provide this benefit to the community, the surrounding businesses, and out-of-town travelers who simply seek a safe night's rest and sleep. Ramped up enforcement on individual incidents alone will not change this trend in and around our hotels and motels. It is clear that an approach that puts the onus on the owners, requires them to have more at stake should they allow their place of business to devolve into a haven of crime, will be much more effective. Your proposal, much like the program in Chula Vista, will provide the city with authority to force the hand of bad business owners while also giving the owners the opportunity to take steps to stem the tide of illegal behavior. The key to this legislation is requiring a license to operate in the city of Columbus, a license that can be revoked or stipulations placed upon it for a pattern of illegal criminal behavior at the hotel, motel, and by its operators. Should they refuse or fail to adequately address these issues, the license could be revoked. Our police have done a magnificent job thus far, and we'll be able to elaborate on how these strategies have resulted in a significant decrease in crimes and calls for service in these areas. However, after consulting with the community organization, the business leaders, the senior staff and police, and the city attorney's office, we believe that your proposed legislation could be a keystone of how hotels and motels are properly operated and regulated for years to come in our city. Please allow me to introduce a couple of individuals who've been instrumental not only in closing bad hotels and motels, but also who have worked with the industry to provide information and resources so that certain hotels and motels do not spiral downward and become a haven for such crime. Officer Scott Klinger and Larry Geist to my right have done an outstanding job of working in this area, and they'll provide you a little later on with a firsthand depiction of the crime that we've experienced. Likewise, I'd like to thank our development department and Board of Health for their involvement. But now, please let me introduce Assistant City Attorney Bill Spallazza. He'll talk more about the effectiveness and the limitations of the judicial nuisance process and the advantage of your proposed legislation.
If you could just excuse me for 1 second, because I want to just highlight the fact that you're going to hear a lot about criminal activity. Yes. And that gets at the guts of our legislation. The state of Ohio regulates hotel motels as well. We have to stay in our lane, and I think this is narrowly tailored in a way that goes after the worst of the worst based on criminal activity only. And that is why I think it's important that CPD is here, Mr. Geis and Mr. Klinger, and Mr. Spallazza from the city attorney's office, because they can provide a firsthand context of exactly what we're all dealing with these terrible properties. But before Mr. Spallazza goes, I just want to give the opportunity to our city attorney, Rick Pfeiffer, who's generous enough to spend some time with us this evening, and who also is very well aware of the problems these properties are plaguing the city of Columbus. City Attorney Pfeiffer.
Chairman Klein, thank you very much for having this legislation come before a public hearing where all voices can be heard. If there are strengths in it, we'll find out what they are. If there are people that have some criticism of it, we'll find out what those are and attempt to address them. Several years ago, I created what we call a zone initiative program in our office, and that's the Columbus police have divided the city of Columbus into 5 geographic zones. Several years ago, I decided that I would assign a lawyer to each one of those zones so that they could go out and deal with the area commissions, the civic associations, code enforcement police, and identify problems that we thought we might be able to help. Bill Spallazza was identified as one of those persons who has a community interest. Now, I'm not sure it's because he's from Youngstown, but that's where he's from, Youngstown State University, so he's a Penguin. And he has brought a vigor and true enthusiasm to this effort. I can remember he and I went several, maybe 2 years ago, to sit with a reputable hotel, motel operator at the 161-71 area. And he was complaining of the problems that were existing in others. So with the help of the Columbus Division of Police, which gave us the evidence that we needed to take the case to court, we were successful in, I believe, significantly cleaning up that intersection, which, if you know about the development of Columbus, that was the intersection that first people came across in Columbus when they came from north on 71. Now, of course, the Polaris exit has become the dominant one. But Bill Spillaz is our person, and let's get moving forward so he can tell us the work he's doing.
Chairman Klein, City Attorney Pfeiffer, Director Speaks, ladies and gentlemen that are here with us tonight, thank you all for being here and for showing an interest in what we're doing. I want to give a little background on the creation of this ordinance. About 3 years ago, I met with Officers Geis and Klinger, to my right, to discuss crime patterns in certain neighborhoods in Columbus. And what the statistics showed us was that criminals were utilizing poorly managed hotels throughout the city as a hub for their criminal enterprise. And this criminal element was bleeding out into our neighborhoods and our business districts, and even causing problems for respectfully run hotels nearby, as City Attorney Pfeiffer alluded to. What we discovered was that Columbus had a problem with mismanaged hotels. These mismanaged hotels all but hang up a welcome sign for drug dealers, drug users, pimps, johns, and human traffickers. Some of these misguided hotel owners and managers are simply enablers. They turn a blind eye to the problem. They fail to implement even the most basic procedures to deter criminals, and they willingly accept rent from these criminals, rents that are often paid in the cash earned out of drug dealing and prostitution. Unfortunately, others are even more culpable than the enablers. They often arrange special rates for criminals and rent them specific rooms in the darkest and most secluded areas of the hotel to provide privacy and anonymity from law enforcement. And in fact, we've had some hotel operators who even place warning calls to their criminal guests when police are on the way. These mismanaged hotels have a severely negative effect on the reputation of our hotel community, and that's unfair to our otherwise great hotel community. Our city is fortunate to have a number of great hotels, both downtown and throughout the city, and we see these hotels as partners in our quest to show the world that Columbus is a great city to visit, to hold events and conventions, and to spend the night and to enjoy all our city has to offer. And I want to be clear on this point, as Chairman Klein was. This ordinance has been crafted so as not to affect respectfully run hotels. This ordinance has been crafted to make mismanaged hotels clean up their act to stop catering to the criminal element. I'll touch a little bit on the procedure we have used thus far to pursue this problem. In the past 3 years, the City Attorney's Office, along with the Columbus Police Department, we have sought ways to combat the problem of crime-ridden hotels. And as many are aware, we have utilized Ohio's nuisance abatement code to file civil lawsuits against negligent owners and managers. We have found thus far that our efforts to remove the bad actors from our neighborhoods has been successful in reducing associated crime in the surrounding neighborhoods and in business districts. Unfortunately, the means with which we have achieved this success through those civil and nuisance abatement cases are both expensive and time-consuming. Abatement cases take substantial city resources to file and to litigate. They can also run for over a year and sometimes longer than that. You know, we have one case that was filed January of 2014, and we sit here now at the end of July 2015 waiting for the Court of Appeals to rule on it. Nuisance abatements have been useful tools in combating criminal hotels, and our hotel community is getting better for it, but that cannot be our only means. This ordinance will provide a useful and necessary tool to continue our efforts towards making every hotel stay in our city a safe one. To touch just a bit on the ordinance itself, I want to discuss just a few pertinent parts. The two sections I find, you know, most telling are those sections that first provide the grounds for denial of a permit, and the sections that spell out the due process, the substantial due process afforded to a hotel owner operator if an objection would occur. Section 598.04C is perhaps the most important section pertaining to grounds for denial. This section indicates that a permit may, and I will repeat that a permit may, be denied if any of the following are shown: if the hotel is not in compliance with Columbus Fire Code, if the hotel has demonstrated a pattern of drug-related activity, the hotel has demonstrated a pattern of prosecution activity or human trafficking activity, the hotel has demonstrated a pattern of gang activity, the hotel has a demonstrated history of repeated acts of violence, or the hotel has a calls for service ratio of 1.0 or higher. And to touch on calls for service, that term might be foreign to some here today. Calls for service are simply calls made to police, fire, calling for help to that hotel for whatever reason that might be. And we use what we call a calls for service ratio. That is simply the number of calls for service in a given year's time divided by the number of rooms for rent at that hotel. That ratio has been shown both in our studies and in other municipalities utilizing similar ordinances. That ratio has shown to be a very good tool in determining poorly run or mismanaged hotels.
This is an important part of the calls for service ratio. It's the calls for service definition. One thing that I think is important is actually after you see section I-1, I-2, and I-3 is that next paragraph that says calls for service shall not include calls made by employees of the hotel base and special duty officers. And that's important because we don't want to discourage the employees of the hotel from calling police. We don't want them to think, well, I can't call the police because I may get fired or my boss may get mad at me. And actually that was something that the hotel industry brought to light. And I think it's an important one. And I thank them for their input. They provided some input just based on their experience. And do we have any evidence, Mr. Spirlaza, of like the worst of the worst ratios versus what some of our more standard gold star hotels are, just to put things in perspective of what a call for service ratio greater than one means?
Sure. Thank you, Councilman Klein. Officers Klinger and Geis have put in a lot of work and effort and done a wonderful job tracking statistics for every hotel within the city of Columbus. By our count, there are approximately 133 hotels within the city of Columbus. And based on most recent and available statistics, we would show that only 15 of the 133 hotels would meet or succeed that 1.0 calls for service ratio.
Sorry, Mr. Spalz, but I just want to highlight that is one factor.
One factor.
So just because it's over one doesn't mean you're automatically getting shut down or you're getting your license. There's a series of factors, and that is simply just one factor, right?
Correct. And you know, when you look at these statistics, you know, you see some hotels that have, you know, fractions, 0.1, 0.2, 0.6 calls for service ratio, 0.1. These are hotels where if the criminal activity tripled, quadrupled, it still wouldn't be anywhere near the range where it would be affected by this ordinance as it pertains to the calls for service.
And that, I think, is the essence of the way we wanted to tailor this. We're not looking at sporadic activity. You know, we're not looking at, hey, the Arnold's in town and someone found steroids in the room. What we're looking at are patterns, chronic patterns, habitual patterns of criminal activity, gang activity, drug activity, prostitution, human trafficking, violence, that over a period of time shows that this is the norm, not the exception. And that's what we want to go after, Mr. Spirlaza.
Thank you, sir. And I think it's also important to point out that, you know, the legal difference when a section says that the permit may be denied, not shall be denied. So in addition to calls for service or drug activity, pattern of prostitution activity, et cetera, you know, in addition to those only being singular aspects, in addition, even if those were to be shown, the hearing officer would have discretion. They may rule one way or the other. They're not forced to. And I think that's also important as well. I don't think that it's appropriate to put numbers such as, you know, if five times drugs are purchased at your hotel, then you shall have your permit rejected. We don't like those. We like to give, you know, the neutral third parties, our hearing officers, the Board of Licensing Appeal, the municipal court, an opportunity to make a decision based on a totality of the circumstances of the evidence, and to give permit holders an opportunity to come in and give their side of the story, to present the evidence they think is relevant. That way, when we don't use the word shall in these regards, we don't pin the hearing officer into a ruling.
Yes, and we had many of those conversations about lessening the rigidity and giving flexibility, looking at the total circumstances surrounding the particular hotel. And you mentioned kind of, you started going down the fair due process, making sure that there's an opportunity to be heard, an opportunity to appeal. And actually one of those is a remediation opportunity. And I think if we can find it just for the folks that want to take a look at it.
It would be section 06C.
06C. Yep, action. Yep, so it's 598-06C. Why don't you talk about that, Mr. Spilazza?
Yes. When you consider the due process, and that was my second point, that this ordinance affords, I think it's substantial. Section 06, 598.06, provides us with an explanation of the due process. And just briefly to go through it, in the event that an objection is made, a hearing will be held before a hearing officer, and at this hearing, the permit holder will be able to present evidence. If the hearing officer rules that the permit is to be revoked, then the permit holder has the opportunity to appeal this ruling to the License Appeal Board. If the decision of the decision of the License Appeal Board may then be appealed to the Environmental Division of the Franklin County Municipal Court. So this provides multiple layers of due process to a permit holder. And as Chairman Klein mentioned, Section 06C provides that even when a license is revoked, Section 06C provides steps a permit holder may take to remediate the issue and potentially get their permit back during the pendency of this case if they can show that they've taken the appropriate steps to curtail the problem. So I think it's important in any ordinance such as this, and this one in particular, to spell out a specific pattern of due process so that there are no unilateral decisions made where all the evidence gets to be heard at multiple levels so we ensure that good decisions are being made every time. I would kind of close with this. I think it's important to note that this ordinance, was born out of a genuine desire by the Columbus Police Department and other city officials to combat a problem that is real in our city. And Officers Klinger and Geis, who you'll hear from soon, as in addition to many of the community members that are here today, have witnessed firsthand the damage that mismanaged hotels can bring to a neighborhood. These officers have researched the issue, and they have found a similar ordinance in California that drastically changed the criminal hotel problem in the town of Chula Vista. The Public Safety Department, the City Attorney's Office, Council Member Klein and his outstanding staff have taken great efforts to craft our ordinance to best serve our city. The ordinance is written so as to force bad actors to straighten up their act and implement policies to combat the criminal elements. And the ordinance will not and should not negatively affect responsible hotel owners and operators. Those are model members of our hotel community. We value and appreciate them, and they run their hotels in a professional and responsible manner. And I think those folks, those responsible hotel owners, should support this ordinance because it will stop bad actors from diminishing the reputation of our hotel community, and it will stop the scourge of crime-ridden hotels from bleeding over into our neighborhoods, our businesses, and our other responsibly run hotels. So with that, Chairman Klein, thank you for the opportunity to offer my comments at this hearing. Thank you for supporting this legislation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spilazza. Before we go on to officers Klinger and Geis, City Attorney, you want to add any other comments? Officers, maybe talk a little bit about boots on the ground, what you're seeing, what we're really shutting down here.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Klein and Director. We appreciate the ability to be here.
Yes, thank you for allowing us to speak on this. We are about to paint you a picture of the problems with rampant crime issues and poorly run and mismanaged hotels within the city of Columbus. We will be describing criminal activity that has been documented and witnessed personally by us. This is not only affects the neighborhoods and businesses surrounding these dens of crime-ridden hotels, but it also affects the public opinion of those who would want to stay in our great city for events or just to visit family. We have found it is a consistent problem throughout the city, and it can be shown that there are owners and operators who allow this activity to take place in these bad hotels, and in some cases participate in the criminal activity. At two different hotels, an owner and a manager were involved in reducing room rates in exchange for engaging in sexual activity with prostitutes.
There have been major crimes at these bad hotels, to include homicides, shootings, stabbings, robberies, human trafficking, prostitution, drug sales, drug use, drug overdose deaths, meth labs, and the list goes on. While working at one of the hotels, myself and Officer Geis were working with the state fire marshal. A call came in over our radio that a female was abducted at gunpoint in the parking lot at the same hotel we were at and pulled into a room. We responded to find a male in the room, and four prostitutes were on the inside of the room too. We recovered a gun and ammunition, and one female was there just to pick up drugs, and during that time frame, she had left her baby in her van with the vehicle running in the parking lot. Another example came from another hotel in the area. We had a call about a female who had overdosed, and she had her 1.5-year-old child in the room with her. The child's now motherless.
Several businesses in and around these poorly run hotels have closed due to the problems that were caused by the people staying in these hotels. Some dealt with thefts, others dealt with customers being solicited by prostitutes, drug dealers, and drug users. Businesses were burglarized, air conditioners vandalized for the copper, and customers' vehicles were broken into. In addition, other well-managed hotels in the same area felt the effects by losing business, and in one case, their franchise of a well-known hotel chain. One local restaurant had to lock its bathroom doors to paying customers to stop the prostitution and drug use that was occurring inside. Prostitutes were even approaching customers in the drive-thru attempting to solicit them for sex. Another good example was a local automotive repair shop. The owner stated that he actually had to carry a gun with him at all times during business hours for his own protection.
The surrounding communities end up taking the brunt of these issues as the criminal element staying at these crime-ridden hotels go out to feed their addiction by committing burglaries, breaking into cars, stealing copper from vacant houses, and committing robberies in our residential areas. This activity causes people not to feel safe in their own homes. At one of the local hotels, assailants planned a home invasion that ended in a homicide and an arson of a home. Suspects were later arrested at the same hotel where they planned their horrendous act of violence.
We personally accompany the state fire marshals when they go out for inspections of hotels in the city. The dangerous conditions at these bad hotels have become a safety issue for them when trying to affect their inspections. At these inspections, we have personally found guns, ammunition, drugs, drug paraphernalia, signs of prostitution in rooms ready for rent to unsuspecting families or travelers. It was also found that criminals are using these bad hotels as their homes, living there indefinitely. There are felon registrants and sex offenders listing the address of these crime-ridden hotels as a reported place of residence.
Now, calls for service at these poorly run hotels continue to cause a drain on city resources for both police and fire. Just in the Northside area, the hotels in 2012 and 2013 generated over 3,700 calls each year. This takes away from the ability of our officers to be patrolling the streets of our communities for the safety and welfare of the citizens of the city of Columbus. In summary, this proposed legislation is a long-term solution to a long-term problem and is necessary to regulate these crime-infested, mismanaged hotels in our city. We have an obligation to protect our residents, our visitors, and businesses from a concentration of crime that bleeds into our neighborhood.
We will keep you updated on the progress of Councilmember Klein's hotel-motel licensing legislation throughout the fall. We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CallTheRoll at columbus.gov. Don't forget to follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.